I'm not ready. I got a technical difficulty. Could you sing a couple verses or something else?
Absolutely, we sure can. I'll tell you what, let me look what we had this morning. I like 543. Love lifted me. 543.
James chapter 5 tonight, the book of James, chapter number 5. Last Sunday evening, we talked about unprevailing prayer, the things that would hinder us from reaching the throne of God with prayer that would be answered. And we talked about several things. We'll go back over those briefly in just a moment. James chapter 5, I want you to look with me in verse 12. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath. But let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he committed sins, he shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful, thankful. We stand in awe at your presence among us, that you would desire to be with us as much as we desire to be with you. Lord, you promise where two or three are gathered in your name for the purpose of worship, you'd be present among us. I pray that you'd magnify that presence tonight, that we might know that you're here, that you might speak to our individual soul, that you might, Lord, show to us sin that hinders our fellowship with you, or give us a purpose and a direction, give us strength to carry out that purpose. I pray your forgiveness tonight. I pray you be with our people who are ill and sick and cannot be here, and be with those who are backslidden, Lord, and far from you. And as the psalmist said this morning, before I was afflicted, I went astray. I pray that you might work your work and bring your folks back to the house of God. Forgive my sin now tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Wonderful is the ability to pray. God encourages us again and again and throughout Scripture that we should ask Him for the things that we have need of. The power of prevailing prayer, I find it mentioned so often. I've used it myself. How many trips have I been on with men's groups or mission trips or things of that nature where it was absolutely necessary? You couldn't call AAA Road Service, or you couldn't call a friend to come down here and get us and take us on. We were completely, totally, and I loved it, dependent upon God. And God showed Himself again and again and again. Wonderful, wonderful thing. We live in America, the land of plastic. We can get most anything now, especially if we have one of these and a little plastic in our pocket. We don't need to wait upon God. We don't need to be patient. We can just get what we want right away, pay the consequences later. But there's some areas of the world still yet. As we were in Central Asia, in Russia, in Latvia, in Mexico, in other areas where we had to depend upon God. There was no other alternative. There was no arm of the flesh to even call upon. And as we bowed in prayer and began to pray, we could sense the presence of Almighty God. And you could sense the earnestness in our soul needing help from God that very moment with no one else to depend upon. I think those prayers went right on through. They didn't even stop. We didn't have to wait long. And God sent the answer. So often we're impatient enough that we don't wait on God's answer. Or we take it upon ourselves to help God. And we get ahead of Him. How many times have I been ahead of God and been sorry for it in the end? Wait upon Him. And the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Last Sunday evening we talked about the things that would keep us, as was intimated here, if the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And you find in verse 17 the word earnestly. Elijah was a man of earnestness. He was earnestly praying to Almighty God. The word earnestly, I want to give it to you. It means, it's an adverb, and it means to pray warmly, hotly, zealously. If you went to a football game and had some of your grandkids playing there, as I have had, or tennis match, or volleyball game, or whatever it is, hey, I got to tell you, just for a moment. My little 10-year-old is playing his first year of tackle football. And he's been a little shy about hitting people. And a little shy about trying to tackle people. He'll run along with them, you know. And his daddy told me last week, he said, hey, it was the only game I hadn't been to. And he said, hey, you should have been here. I said, what happened? He said, he snapped. I said, what happened? It was Austin. He said, he snapped. I said, what? He was making tackles all over the field. He got the Big Dog Bone Award. It's a rawhide bone about this big and about that big around, and you get to write your name on it if you become the MVP of the game. He went from zero to crash test. Earnest. Feverishly hot, zealous. He was at his cousin Cole's football game Friday night, and he was watching Cole play the same position he plays. He was watching Cole. I know he picked up on it. And then Saturday, he was like a wild man. He was just hitting everyone all over the field. If they had the ball, they couldn't get away from him. He got the Big Dog Bone. The Big Dog Award. Oh, man, I called him. I said, man, that's awesome. Yeah. I said, what'd you do to get that? He said, well, I was pretty much just hitting everyone on the field and just pretty much tackling everybody when they got the ball. I said, well, that's pretty awesome. He said, yeah, the big dog, big bone award. Hey, when I think about the word earnestly, that's what I think about. I think about someone who's not just going to say, well, Lord, if you want to give it to me, you can. If you don't want to give it to me, don't worry about it. I see someone who's in desperation here. When I think about the word earnest, I think about the word of desperation. There's no place else I can go. There's no one else I can call. There's no help anywhere else other than God. And I come to Him first. I say, Lord, I don't know how many prayers last week I had answered. And that's not bragging on me. That's bragging on God. Man, He wants to hear your prayers. But they have to come in a certain way. Earnestly helps a lot. Earnestly is warmly, hotly, zealously, importunately. Won't give up. Keep coming back. Keep knocking on God's door. Eagerly, with real desire. Being in agony. Earnestly. Pleading with God. Jesus said, if you ask, you shall receive. Ask and it shall be given you. Knock and seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And He said, you have not because you ask not. I believe that. But it's not like the same prayer we pray every night before we go to sleep. Now, Lord, I just wanted to remind you before I doze off to sleep here that I need you to care for my family. Oh, Lord, and I need you to help me. No, forget it. You just might as well go on to sleep. There's some things there. Let me remind you of what He intimates here. If the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man and a prayer that is prayed earnestly avails with God, if it gets things from God, then there's prayers that won't get anything. If He's telling us the recipe for those who get something from God, then He's also telling us, without saying anything, the prayers that will not get anything from God. You remember what we talked about? Praying with a wrong motive will not prevail with God. You remember? If we regard sin in our lives, our prayers will not prevail. If we have an unforgiving spirit towards others, our prayer lives are hindered and they will not prevail. If there's an unwillingness in our life to be reconciled to another brother or sister in Christ, our prayers are hindered. Lastly, a wrong human relationship with members of our own family or wives and husbands or those kinds of things. A wrong human relationship will hinder our prayer life and stop it dead in its tracks. Well, what can I expect to get if I pray to God? Well, look, through prayer, God's people and God's servants were empowered to speak His word, given boldness to preach before kings and to preach before peasants. It makes no difference. But through prayer, God gives strength and purpose. Through prayer, we find that we gain all our needs, provision for all of our needs. For what things we have need of and ask, God provides. I'm talking about, hey, you say, Well, preacher, but what does that mean? It means anything you have need of. As a Christian, that's within Christian principles and within Christian morals and those things. What things you have need of? I almost hesitate to mention it, but it is worth saying. I had need of a bathroom on the bus from way up in the northern regions of Russia, in Central Asia, down almost to Mongolia, an 18-hour bus trip. One stop. That's bad. Listen, I prayed. I said, Lord, you got to help me. There's no way I can make this. I mean, you got to help me. And you say, well, God wouldn't answer a prayer like that. He did. He did. So what do I pray about? Pray over all things. Pray without ceasing. Give glory to God. Pray earnestly. Are you desperate enough to be in earnest about it? Desperation. Prayer. Notice, through prayer, God's children and God's servants have experienced a supernatural working of God in their lives. Hello. Now we have stories to tell about it to our children, our grandchildren, and to our brothers and sisters in Christ, saying, look, if God will answer this kind of prayer for me, He'll answer one for you if you will do it in the correct manner. Through prayer, God's servants and God's children have been victorious and conquerors over the enemies that would come against them. I could give illustrations after that, but we'll not take the time. Through prayer, God's servants are kept safe, secure, and steadfast in our storms of life, in our testings, in our troubles. And then I want to show you three conditions of prevailing prayer. If I already gave you the conditions of unprevailing prayer or non-prevailing, whichever is proper, I have no idea. You sort it out. But when prayer doesn't work, and there are instances in our lives, as we just went over, that cause them to be hindered, what are the things that will put fire under the prayer of life? Three things. Number one, James chapter 5 and verse 16. Confess your faults one to another. Have sin out of the way. Pray one for another. Don't be selfishly praying for just yourself. That ye may be healed. The effectual. It means to be active. To show forth a thing. Active. Now, you guys play dominoes. 42 dominoes. And you're quite adamant about it. I've watched you play. You are seriously trying to win. That's pretty good. And I enjoy the passion of it, but do not have a likeness to it at all. But that's what I'm talking about. A passion. A heart. A desire. A burden. A burning. I'm going to win. Lord, I know if I put it before you, you'll take care of it. Lord, I'm your child. Lord, I've confessed. Show me sin in my life. I will confess it and, Lord, forsake it. I want to be right with you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Prayer. The effectual. To be active. To show forth. Some of you guys would almost be on the edge of cheating in 42. In 42. You'd almost cheat to win. I'm not saying all of you would, but I know one or two of you characters would. For sure, you got to keep an eye on them, don't you?
I do.
Yeah. Don't let them have any dominoes in their pocket. You know, the effectual, to be active, to show forth a thing, to have a burden, the effectual, fervent. The word fervent or fervency means to be at work, to be in operation. I'm not just going to think about a prayer. I've got to spend some time. I got to sacrifice a little bit. I have to put forth some effort. Look, if King David would not offer in sacrifice to God as he was about to worship God, the king of Jerusalem at that particular time offered to David some oxen and some wood and some articles and some plays for his sacrifice on the altar to God. And David refused it. And he said, why should I offer to my God anything that didn't cost me something? That's a good idea to have. How are you offering to God the sacrifice of your prayers if it didn't cost you something?
Well, Lord, I'm about to go to sleep, and just before I do, I just want to remind you to take care of everything that's mine. Oh, boy.
What about get out of your bed and get down beside it on your knees and bow your head before God and talk to Him? That cost you something. What about being reminded of David, who would not offer that sacrifice because it cost him nothing at all? Why not be reminded that if your prayer does not cost you something, it's probably not worth praying? If it didn't cost you some agony, if it didn't cause you some distress, if it didn't cause you to be earnest about it, to be serious, to be in desperation, perhaps, and dependent upon God, perhaps it's not worth praying. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth. Availeth. It means it can do the impossible. Availeth means to be strong. It is strong. The word availeth means it has power. It has strength to overcome. The prayer availeth. Is powerful and full of strength and can overcome for the righteous man. Oh, it availeth much. The prayer that prevails must be fervent, earnest, and passionate. James tells us that this prayer has a tremendous power with Almighty God. And you find that the word is emphasized in verse 17. The word emphasized is earnestly. When Elijah prayed, he said, Elijah was a man just like you and I. Elijah was a flesh and blood guy. There's nothing special about Elijah except that he loved God and tried to do what was right by God. But Elijah prayed earnestly that it not rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed earnestly, and it did rain when he said for it to rain. It happened just like he said. The emphasis is upon the word earnest or earnestly, the effectual, those things that are active and those things that come about, and the fervent prayer, the working or the operation or the sacrificing of prayer of a righteous man. Well, God doesn't hear the prayer of a non-righteous man, and all that means is that you've been born again. You're righteous. Now, there's another possibility that your sins have separated and come between you and God and His ability to hear your prayer. But that's a different story. We were on that last week. We're not going there. The prayer that prevails must be fervent, earnest, passionate, and of course, from a righteous man. The Bible says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." That's what it means. We have His righteousness now, and we have forgiveness of sin, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, one who knows how he got where he is, one who knows that he's been born again, and he knows by the power and the person of which he was born again. He's conscious of it. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. The second thing. The second condition for prevailing prayer is that prayer that prevails is oftentimes the product of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. Oftentimes, prevailing prayer is the product of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. You can't pray something in the will of God if it was not placed as a desire within your heart, within your consciousness to begin with. These people who pray. I came from a group of Baptists years ago, and it seemed like every little Baptist church of like, kind, and tender that prayed negated their prayer by saying, "Now, Lord, if it be thy will, let it happen, and if not, then so be it." Good grief. That's a recipe for disaster. You're not going to get anything answered like that. You've just negated everything you asked for by saying, "Now, if it doesn't happen, it's not my fault, it's God's will. Give me a break." If God put it on your heart and God put it in your consciousness to pray, the Holy Spirit has already given you that burden, and the Holy Spirit has already brought that need to the light and to the surface, then you pray with confidence that God has placed this upon my soul and God has placed this upon my spirit. And I'm going to ask with confidence that God knows already, but He wants to hear me ask. That's the recipe for getting things from God. People oftentimes have asked me to pray certain prayers about sickness and about loved ones. "Preacher, would you just ask God just to raise my husband up? Would you ask God just to perform a miracle and just raise him up out of the bed?" Well, he's been run over by a truck and his brain is dead. There's only 2% that's active, and they say you only need, I forget what it is, I don't remember, but they say you need very little of your brain for your body to do the functions it functions. He's brain dead. It's never happened before. God could, but God doesn't intervene in some of those situations. And you're asking me to pray a prayer that will be directly opposite of what God and what the laws of nature would be all about. God would have to change all. Oh, it would be a miracle. I know, but God can work a miracle. But He hasn't done that up until this point. I oftentimes say, "I will pray for your loved one." And I will. But usually I pray what God lays on my heart to pray. "God, what do you want me to ask for?" There's nothing wrong with that. And then you know you're in God's will. "God, what should I ask for? Help me. Guide me." If I don't know anything else, then I know it's right to pray God's presence upon that individual. If that's a child of God and God loves His children, there's nothing wrong with saying, "Lord, would you manifest your presence here? Would you comfort the living? Would you take care of those in whatever state they're in? In that unconsciousness, would you just be with them?" There's nothing wrong with that. God will answer that prayer. Hey, listen, if you can't think of anything to ask God in my behalf, then just pray God's presence upon me. I'll take that any day. The presence of God. The prayer that prevails is a prayer that has been worked over and brought about by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8. In verse 26, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities." When we know not what to pray, in our weakness, in our feebleness, in our trials, in our troubles, the Holy Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. The word "ought," meaning of necessity, established by the very person of God Himself. The necessity in this particular case, what is it? Well, that we raise him up, that he's right at the point of death, but God can raise him up from the dead. No. God, help me. Help me know what to pray. I can see this family member is very anxious and agitated. Maybe the prayer ought to be for the living, not for those who are in transition to the other land. God help. The Holy Spirit will give you the desire. The Holy Spirit will burden you for the proper and correct thing. Ask Him. Look, The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses, our feebleness. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought to pray. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We went over that several weeks ago. We did a message on that. Those groanings are sighings. It's not anything special, but it's like, well, I'm here to help you one more time. And he doesn't mind helping us, but our weaknesses cause the sighings, I think. We're not where we're going to be as children of God. When we get a resurrected body, we'll be more in the likeness of Christ, think in his likeness, know in his likeness, and be in his likeness, and be perfect children of God without sin. At the present time, most of us are not living up to our capabilities as children of God. Most of us are living down on a lower level than where we ought to be and where we should be in this relationship with God. And the Holy Spirit is breathing sighs over the fact that we're not progressing as we should, if I may say it that way. The prayer that prevails is prayer that has been brought about and the ideas of it by the Holy Spirit of God who lives within us. One other verse in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, the Bible says, "For it is God which worketh in you." It is God which worketh in you. If you're born again, it's God who works in you that brings about those spiritual desires. Suddenly I feel a desire to work in the bus ministry. Where did that come from, man? I don't know. God gives us the burdens and the desires to preach, to do missions, to teach, whatever. The prayer that prevails is prayer that has been brought about consciously by the Holy Spirit in our life. And Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 says, "It's God which worketh in you." Well, the Holy Spirit is God. It is God that worketh in you. Both to will it, that's to desire it, that's to want it. Both to will it and to do it of his good pleasure. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, and he says, it's not by our own goodness that we're the ministers of Christ. It's not by our own abilities, but it's by the hand of God, and we recognize it. I'm paraphrasing. But the prayer that prevails is prayer that has been brought about consciously by the Holy Spirit of God. True prayer is bringing our requests to God that have already been worked out in us by the Holy Spirit, been born by the Holy Spirit, and it is a passionate, earnestly put request to God to help in a certain situation. I hesitate to say anything because I don't want to draw attention, but I felt horrible this morning. Someone said, "Well, it's great to finally see you smile." I felt horrible. I came in and checked the thermostat. I needed a few more degrees to help that situation, but I felt horrible. And while on the platform, I said, "Oh Lord, it's one of those in a body, out of the body situations. You've been there." Oftentimes when you're getting a head cold or the flu or something of that nature, you don't feel like you're here, you don't feel like you're there, and all your thoughts turn to how bad you feel, remember? And I said, "Lord, if there's ever a time I needed grace, I need grace this morning. Physically, I feel weak. Spiritually, I want to be right with you. And mentally, my thoughts are not coming, Lord. This is going to be horrible. I need your help." And God answered. And I told my wife, I said, when I read my text, I just felt horrible. But as I gave it over to the Lord, and I prayed that prayer, and I gave it over to the Lord, somewhere between the text and the time we started preaching, I never was conscious of it anymore. You say, well, so you got over it. No, I felt horrible this afternoon before I came back to church. I said, God, let's work our work again. God is good. He answers prayer. He takes care of us. And he does what's necessary. God directs us in what to pray for. So the prevailing conditions of prevailing prayer, number one, is prayer that must be fervent, earnest, and passionate. Number two, prayer that prevails is prayer that is worked over and put in your heart and your soul by the Holy Spirit of God so that God gets the credit, God gets the glory from it all. But you recognize that God has done it. God directs us in what to pray for. Number three, the condition of prevailing prayer, is that prayer that prevails must be the prayer of a righteous man. I've told you before, one of my pet peeves is to be at a funeral service or somewhere else and a non-Baptist has the service or something and they've gotten their little book of prayer out and they're reading from page 54 and the prayer and they say, let us pray. And so oftentimes I'm real bad. But oftentimes I watch the speaker to see if they're going to close their eyes and pray or if they're going to, and they do. And not. They read from the book. Oh Lord, holy, righteous one, may you in this great hour of our need hear us. Hear us as we beg you. Not from the heart, not passionate, not fervent. Somebody else wrote it, and they're going to read it as if it's their prayer. Give me a break. The prayer that prevails must be the prayer of a righteous man. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse number 6. Isaiah writes, and he says, but we are all as unclean things. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Verse 8, he says, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, thou art our potter. And we are the work of thy hand. I like what Isaiah says. He says, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in his sight. Only through Jesus Christ and the blood of Christ does anything that we do ever amount to anything and count with God. I love it. And I had 2 Corinthians 5:21 written here as conclusion. I think that's the verse I've already quoted. For he hath made him to be sin for us. And that's true. Christ has taken our sin and given us his righteousness. Prevailing prayer must be reminded of that. Prevailing prayer must have the idea and the thoughtfulness that the only way God hears us is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the only way that God hears us is because Jesus has taken our sins and given us his character. Now we're in the likeness of Christ. We've been born again. The spirit of a born again man is perfect and without sin. It cannot sin. It will never sin. The body and the mind are not so. The body and the mind still give me problems. But when the Spirit desires to do what God wants, there's an argument between the flesh and the mind or the emotions that will argue with the Spirit. Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. And I find then a law that wars in my members. And he says, when I want to do good, evil comes along and there's a battle that takes place. Yeah, every single time. And prayer is not the easiest thing in life to accomplish. It's very difficult. It's born with hardship. Why? Because Satan comes to interfere, to hinder, and to prevail. The child of God that knows how to pray and presses through knows that it's a battle and knows that it's a war to break through to God, but through the blood of Jesus Christ, by the person of Jesus Christ, and by the help of the Holy Spirit of God, I come into your presence, Father, and I need your help. I get amused when I was a child and the pastor would call on someone to lead in prayer or dismiss in prayer, and my goodness, you thought that you just stepped into a specialized, sterilized holy room, and all of a sudden we're trying to pray everybody holy and righteous. And I never heard such big words in all my life from people who were trying. I don't think they were trying to impress God as much as they were trying to impress people around them. That's not what prayer is about. You can talk to God just like you talk to me, or you talk to your husband or your wife. You can talk to God, and he understands English very well. But the point is, you need to talk to him, and you need to pray. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah prayed earnestly, and it happened. Father, thank you for the word. I trust and pray you'll use it tonight for your glory. We give you all the credit. We lift you up and recognize your power, your love, your compassion. We recognize your presence. And Lord, we just want to love on you a little bit and pray that you might help us, that you might guide us, that you might put within our heart and soul the next step we're to take for tomorrow and the next day. People have questions. I'm sure they're waiting on answers. Lord, you're the one who has all the answers. You're the one who knows all things. We cast ourselves upon you and look for you to help. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.